League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. That's Sarah.
It's me.
And that's Chris.
You're a pie.
Oh, I am not. In the UK, we can see a tiny bit of light at the end of this lockdown tunnel. When the lockdown is finally over and we can fully socialise again, there will be all sorts of parties and social gatherings, no doubt. With that in mind, today we're answering this question. Are you a better host or are you a better guest?
I think I'm actually a better host, and I don't think it's because I'm great at hosting. I think I actually find being a guest quite stressful.
Well, go on.
I mean, it's not like I love going around to people's houses and all that, and it's always lovely, and I've got many wonderful friends who are brilliant hosts. But there's something about, like, when you go to someone else's house, you don't know the rules and you don't know where things are. And I especially find it stressful when people say, oh, just make yourself at home, help yourself to anything. When people say help yourself to anything, I'm like, no. Can we define the parameters, please? Help yourself to the wine in the fridge. Help yourself to anything. Help yourself to a book off the shelf. Like, put whatever you want on Netflix. Like, what am I? I just find it really stressful not knowing. Like, you don't know where the bathroom is. You don't know. Like, there's quite a lot about being a guest that I find stressful. So I think I actually prefer hosting.
It's funny. I thought you were going to say I prefer hosting because I'm a dreadful guest. I get really leery. I get really loud. I drink too much. I smash
things. Yeah.
I smash mugs all the time when I go to other people's houses.
If I don't like the food, I just insist that I cook something for myself.
Yeah.
Like...
You order a takeaway. Imagine that. Bing bong at the door. What's that? That'll be my pizza. What's your
postcode? Have you ever helped yourself to anything? You know when they say that? I mean, I don't even want to do it in the fridge because I'm like, other people have bought drinks and I don't know whose I'm taking.
There's no way Sarah's helped herself. She's far too, what's the word?
Cautious?
Cautious, perhaps.
Yeah. I think I just feel, I don't mind, as I said, if they've set the parameters very clearly, if they say, help yourself to more wine, the wine's in the fridge, just help yourself as and when, that's fine by me. But it's when they say, oh, if you fancy anything, just have a look in the fridge. And I'm like... Yeah. No, but I think maybe that comes from growing up in a family where we don't have a fridge that is for rummaging. Every item is for a specific thing. You can't just help yourself. I think that's been impressed upon me for so long.
What was the orphanage like where you grew up, Sarah?
Please, sir, can I have some more?
Can I have a wagon wheel? No.
I like the idea. Wow, good reference. Can I have a choc ice? A slice of Arctic roll, perhaps. I do quite like that idea that you're very, very regimented, I suppose. You need to kind of be told specifically what to do, because maybe one day you'll break out and you'll go completely the other way, and because you don't have the scale, you don't know. And so, like, someone will turn around and you're, like, I don't know, smoking all their Cuban cigars or something like that. That would be getting through them.
Chris is never going to let me back in his house.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. What about you, Chris? A better host or guest? What comes more naturally? What do you prefer?
Host. Probably different reason than Sarah. Although I do get the, I'm slightly awkward in someone else's house. I don't know how to behave. Mm-hmm. It's a bit like if you've ever been told, oh, you know, when someone says breathe normally, you're like, oh, I'm overthinking breathing now.
Yeah.
Like, how do I normally breathe? And like, you just overthink everything. But
I think it's a bit of a shame though, Sarah, when you say that basically you have chosen one because you're not sure about the other. And so that's it, because I think Chris is going to choose one because he's empowered and he thinks I'm bloody good at that.
Chris is going to give some like wonderful, profound reason.
Chris is a good cook. I'm aware of this. And I think that's got something to do with it.
I'm going to come back with something profound once Chris has spoken. I guarantee it.
So Chris, actually, far away.
On the cook thing, what was that? You say that last time you came around, Marcus, your good wife cooked, and we just sat and watched football, which was brilliant. And
there's an awful lot more. There's an awful lot more context to it than that. You know as well as I do.
Yeah, we just came from a wedding. She didn't want to watch the football, but I love the fact that you brought the ingredients. I mean, I was a terrible host that day
because
you
guest.
Came to my home with all the ingredients, and she cooked.
Don't worry about it.
I do like hosting. Maybe it's a control thing. I'm in control. I can guarantee, as you said, that you know, good food and alcohol and vibes will be had. You're in charge of the music.
Vibes.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Playlist.
And also, I'm in charge of the guest list, so I get to have all the people I like, and so therefore, it's not like, oh, I'm going to have to speak to someone who's a bit weird or awkward, because I've invited everybody.
Got a bouncer on the door.
It does depend, though, doesn't it, Chris? So we're of a sort of certain age where we're probably thinking more some sort of social gathering, some sort of grown-up sort of party, maybe even a dinner party. But we weren't always like that. So when you're saying, oh, I'm in charge of the guest list, when you were a student or perhaps when you were younger or whatever, you didn't have guest list, surely.
No, you didn't. But the difference back then, and you are right, there's a life stage thing. And I remember hosting a New Year's party, I'm going to say 10 or 11 years ago now.
Yeah.
I just moved into a house around the corner from St. Mary's, our church, or your church. And we decided to advertise it on Facebook in mid-November. Because with New Year's, like, everybody always decides at the last minute because they're waiting for a better option. And we thought, actually, if we can get a bit of a momentum going early doors, then everybody's going to come. And it was absolutely rammed. I didn't know half the people in my house. And we hit that one. We basically had to ban people from coming in.
When you lived off Baker Street?
No, that was the second time. This is the first time.
Okay, yeah.
But we basically had a load of people turn up who were friends of mine. I was like, we actually can't fit you in the house. There's too many people. And it got closed down by the police at 1 o'clock on New Year's.
Yeah.
And they were like, normally we'd let this go, but you've had so many complaints in the street. So you're right. I didn't have control of that guest list, but that was at a time when I was, you know, single and wanting to meet new people. So I was like, oh, this is brilliant.
That's why I wasn't invited.
No. I think that was pre-Marcus days. So we call them the dark days.
Terrible days. Yeah.
Well, I did enjoy it. It was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. I've had quite a few New Year's parties.
I think, but was it partly me that you've never had another New Year's Eve party again? Because obviously
you've never been invited again.
Oh, maybe that's it. Because I didn't leave until about 4 or 5 in the morning.
Till the tube started. Someone decided to crack open a ball game at 3 a.m. I wanted to get a bed.
Amazing.
You've twisted my arm.
Marcus is like, oh, I'm game. And I'm just like, oh, I've got to stir up now. Yeah. And I think it was about 6 a.m. before you finally left.
The uninvited guest who stays till the end.
He was that friend.
I do have to say, though, if you're hosting, it is so annoying when people won't leave.
Yeah.
That is one of the bad parts of hosting is I've been there before and I've had people where I've been like, it gets to, you've had them around for dinner and it's getting to midnight and it's like, oh, you'll miss the last tube. And they're like, oh no, I think I'll get an Uber home. And I'm like, please.
I'll wait for the first tube. Hey, Mark.
Or I could just keep on your sofa. And I'm like, no, leave.
Yeah. I often people say, you know, you're very modest and all. I am a fantastic guest. I really am. I prefer being a guest. I genuinely think I'm a brilliant guest because if I'm going, I think, well, I know it's going to be good. Because I think funny you say that about the controlling thing, Chris. I think it's the reverse for me. I think if I've got a lot of people coming around my house, I think, maybe I'm not in control so much. Whereas when I go to someone else's, I'm... In a way, I think I've stumbled upon what it is. I like to host in other people's houses. I think that's what I like to do.
Right.
I think that's basically it.
All the fun, no responsibility.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's absolutely it. But I think because for years, obviously I'm married and I have been for, you know, nearly 4
Can't
years
remember.
Now. And nearly 4 years. But I was single for years. I was huge swathes of my life I was single, but I was perfectly happy with that. And I used to love the thought of going to sort of party or whatever. I can turn up whenever I want. I can, you know, perform, as I would see it. But, you know, or just piss around, you know, hold court. Or if someone else wants to do it, great, get in there, slipstream, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And at the end, I say cheerio and I leave on my own and say like a goodbye.
And you can leave when you want.
Yeah, I absolutely loved that feeling. I absolutely adored it and it was brilliant. Since being married, though, what it has taught me is my wife is a very good host, actually. In fact, actually, I think we're a good combo. She takes care of the admin, i.e. the cooking, and I sort of am front of house, and it works well. And that's not because she's a good cook. I mean, I'm getting better. She's teaching me. She's trying to bring me into adulthood, I think. But, So it's, actually, I've appreciated hosting a bit more since being married, but actually it's the guest.
I've never been around any of your homes, and we've been friends for many, many, many years.
Well, I have invited you, Chris, but I live on the other side of London, and you're notoriously difficult to coax away from there. You did once, though. We went to watch Fulham play, if you remember.
Did we go to your house? Oh, yeah, no, do not. I'm lying. I have been around your house.
Yeah.
And I've eaten.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about that. I apologize. I've had dinner around there as well. I don't know what
exactly.
I'm saying.
And we came around yours and cooked for you, you know. So, so yeah, but I do love that role of I say role as if we're sort of actors. I do love being a guest. I really, really do. And I actually don't mind if people say, oh, you know, make yourself at home or whatever. I'm quite intrigued going into other people's houses. And I always sort of like, so there's rule on various websites, various you know, articles and whatnot about how to be a good guest, and it says the first one said the best guests are hosts, because no one has the potential to understand what is needed of a guest and how to behave more than those who regularly invite people into their own house. I mean, with my own experience, I would actually disagree with that straight away. But then Sarah, you know, you quite like hosting. Or Oh, you were going to say something profound, weren't you, Sarah? about your kind of, you feel like you prefer to host because you hate being a guest.
Well, so it's interesting, actually, just as you started saying that about like being a good guest and being a good host, I was thinking about this, and I think one of the reasons I like hosting is it's a way for me to express that I care about people. Right. I mean, like, we've talked about love languages and that kind of thing in previous shows. I think one of mine is kind of acts of service. Like, if I like to do things for people to show them I care about them. So if you're a guest in my house, I want to make sure that you've, you know, your drink's topped up, that if you want another slice of cake, you can have another slice of cake. That's my way of kind of showing that I care about you.
Yeah, I get that. I find that quite... That brings a bit of stress, because I think, oh, if I mess it up and they go, oh, you didn't have the cake I like or something like that, you know, so I'm a bit like, oh, I'm thinking about all these things, you know.
So it's like, we talked about this a bit on the, we talked about a gift giving on one of the previous
love language
episodes. No, we did. It was, do you like...
Yeah,
about giving and receiving gifts.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing there, I think, of when you get it just right, you know, you... There's something about making sure you do have the right cake, or you go, I remember you said that you love carbonara, so I've made you carbonara, or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that for me is so satisfying, and really, it feels like a way of, yeah, really expressing that I care.
Whereas my wife and I were once, one of her old uni mates came round, and they hadn't seen each other for years. And it turned up, and she bought this big old sort of rack of ribs kind of thing, really lovely, whacked it down, and he went, oh, I'm a vegetarian.
No.
I was proper cracking up. I was like, how do you not know? Oh. Chatting to him for 5 minutes, I could have told you he's a vegetarian, you know?
Oh, that's so upsetting.
More for me, Sarah.
True. Yeah. True. Yeah.
He was fine. He found it funny, you know, but my wife was mortified.
Food is a big part of hosting, I think, isn't it?
Mm.
And so, Marcus, you, as you said, you're not really someone who's been, you know, a cook or a chef in your life. No. So in a way, you're just like, well, I've got nothing to offer you. So apart from myself, therefore, I'm a better guest.
I think that's an excellent point. But I do. So another few of the rules of being a good guest: never turn up empty-handed. I definitely adhere to that. I think. Well, it says unless you are visiting the house of someone whom you also regularly host. I mean, again, if you're best friends, you know, you go around all the time or something. But I think that's definitely it. One of the rules was don't get too comfortable without permission. Which
that stresses me out. Because like people say, make yourself at home. And it's like, no, because if I was at home, I'd be like eating ham out the packet in my pants. So
on the toilet with the door open.
Nobody wants me to make myself at home. Trust me.
Slice of cheese with the ham.
Oh, why not? Why not?
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like what is... I think I'm so scared of people thinking I'm making myself too comfortable.
Yeah.
That stresses me out.
I mean, that is too comfortable, to be honest, isn't it?
All right, fine.
So, I mean, there's a line. You've just chosen to ignore it.
all these sort of unwritten rules. It says when the food is served, if there's something you don't like, just shut up and avoid it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. You have to be... You can't be ungrateful if you go around. No. Surely if you're going around someone's house, like generally, like you know them, you're mates, so you can be honest.
If I was gonna cook dinner for someone, I'd say, is there anything you really don't like or anything you don't eat? Because you don't want to put all that effort in and get a giant rack of ribs.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and Sarah, if you're talking about rules on being a good host, a former butler of the Queen revealed some tips on how Her Majesty goes about being a good host.
Probably similar to when I host, to be honest.
Well, very similar, I'd imagine. I mean, they did say that that a good host knows all the dietary requirements of the guests, including allergies and intolerances and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, especially nowadays, you know, that's very much all the rage, isn't it? But this chap said the best way to ensure you're a good host is to ensure everyone feels comfortable in your home. He says that if someone makes a mistake or get something wrong, you'd never tell them off or say anything. You've got to be very relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for someone like the Queen, everyone is on absolute tenterhooks, you know, around her.
She says, make yourself comfortable. Make yourself
comfortable. Yeah.
What does that mean? But apparently there was a story that somebody told who was very, very uncomfortable in that surrounding, because let's be honest, the vast majority of people, you're not used to being in some sort of palace or whatever and all the treatment and all the trimmings. But was very, very uncomfortable, very, very nervous, and she called in the corgis, got the dogs in, and it just relaxes everybody having those little funny dogs sort of scurrying around. So she knows what she's doing. There's old Liz.
On the not complaining about food thing, I used to hate mushrooms and tomatoes as a kid. So I made myself like them because I was sick of going around people's houses, and most of the time there'd be some sort of mushroom or tomato thing. So I think I read an article saying if you eat something 12 times, it will change your taste buds. So I had a fry up for about 2 weeks in a row, and then fried up all. It was amazing.
That's a hardship.
Eat it now. I was just like, I'm just so sick of going around people's houses and feeling really awkward and being like, and they're like, do you like it? And you're like, I just hated it. So yeah,
you seem to be washing every mouthful down with fizzy pop, you know, trying to take away the taste. My advice on that is, if you're trying to disguise the taste, then just breathe out your mouth. It takes a lot of the taste away.
Oh,
did not know that.
If you're eating something that you do not like, someone's putting something in front of you, you have to eat it. Then breathe. Don't stop breathing through your nose. Breathe out your mouth.
Did it not look like you've done a little burp and you're like kind of trying to get rid of the
No, you don't sort of breathe in and out as you're kind of stuffing your face full of it. but on that sort of food thing, one of the rules for being a guest is do not bring food that has to be consumed during your stay.
Which I thought was interesting
because I suppose somebody can turn up and go, oh yeah, I've got this thing, but it needs to be cooked today. You're basically saying we need to have this, and I think you're saying that you are kind of trying to take control, if you see what I mean.
Okay,
but it depends what it is, I think.
Yeah. I guess if it's on the whim. If they've said to you, can you bring pudding, then...
Yeah,
you know,
fine.
That's fine, isn't it?
Yeah,
but
that's different.
Yeah, I've bought, I don't know, ice cream. Uh-huh. Then you've got ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Going back to the former butler of the Queen, he said, you know, dress code is important. You can be as informal or formal, but you need to make sure that the guests adhere to the dress code. And then he said, are you having a Christmas jumper get together or is it a black tie event? And I thought, the Queen having a Christmas jumper
Also, I've not thrown many black tie events in my flat.
No, exactly. And I think this is where it kind of... But have you ever been to a very posh... Or even a wedding, for example? Mm. I mean, it's still a gathering of people. And he says that when you setting the table is important. You obviously have the plate at the centre and then dessert cutlery first. And then you have the mains and then the starter. So actually, when you sit down and you're not sure, you work your way in with the cutlery. Mm. That's the trick to this sort of posh stuff, you know. Yeah. So it's quite interesting. But I think, and it says, also he talks about seating arrangements are very, very important. Because again, when you get to, have you ever been to a real sort of posh? I'd never been to one.
Yeah.
Because again, growing up in like Surrey, quite middle class kind of surroundings, you don't really know what posh is until, well, it was for me moving to London. Mm. And then there was a few people at my church. It was one guy who used to be a secretary for one of the royals, you know, and you kind of, you get invited to that kind of, do you? Like, oh, there is like this code, etiquette, this kind of etiquette. Yeah. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's quite fascinating. And often you have seating arrangements, whereas normally you just sort of sit where you want when you go around people's houses if you're going to do that kind of thing. And then sometimes what they do is, and this is a very, as I understand it, this is a kind of a, I think at Cambridge University sometimes they'll sit everybody boy, girl,
yeah,
which is an odd one. And then at a certain time of the evening, they get all the men to move round one, so everybody kind of mingles and chats to different people. I mean, I don't like hate it or think it's a terrible idea, but it is quite odd if you're not from that kind of circle, which not many people are.
I've definitely experienced that. Same. So it was. I didn't go to Cambridge. Be quick to say, but I had quite a few friends when I went to university who were from those kind of families. You know, yeah. Very. Well off and that kind of thing, and they did that sort of thing. Mm. And you know what? I actually quite like the seating arrangement thing, because I tend to feel a bit awkward if I'm trying to kind of, it feels like I'm trying to break into a conversation where everyone already knows each other, because that's the way they've sat. Whereas like if they've just sat you so that like it's a big old mishmash, like at weddings, I don't mind being sat next to people's, you know, aunties or whatever.
Yeah.
Because if you've been put there, it's like, cool, well, we're going to have a chat now and we'll make it work. And I know we'll be moving in a bit, so no worries.
Yeah, I think seating plan, I mean, depends. Again, we're very much talking about like dinner parties now.
Yeah.
Again, you throw a party.
I don't think we're doing this any of our flats, are we?
Yeah, exactly. Also, when you're a student or when you're a teenager or something, right, we're going to have a seating plan. Yeah, piss off. But it's funny, actually. I often quote him. Billy Connolly said that he found that when he would go to weddings, he said he would often wear quite a leery sort of sparkly brooch or something that would stand out. And he would always call it his arsehole detector, because he said you would talk to people and if anybody saw it and was just like, what's that you got on your top? Or people were often the dickheads would show their true colours when they would see it. And he said, some people ignore those people. I go straight to them, because you find out who they are, what their names are. Then you look at the seating arrangement, you go, oh, I'm not sitting next to him. And you start doing your own arrangements, you know.
I like that.
But the seating arrangement's a historical thing, right? Like it goes back to when people used to host, I think in Roman and Greco times. It was a status thing. So it start, you know, that's the history of it. And it's just obviously carried on to Cambridge today, which is all about history and status.
No, but it's true that who was it now? I was on not that long ago. I was on an open bus tour of Edinburgh, and they said it might have been George the First. Maybe it was George the First. Anyway, so one of the
there's been a lot of them, to be fair.
There's been an awful lot, and they're all dead, so we can't libel them. but he used to host these parties, which would be like 25 courses, and they were a gluttonous bunch. But I think it was him where he would make all the women come and sit on his knee and give him a kiss before.
So lechy.
Oh, what?
There was a nursery rhyme, Georgie Porgie Pudding and Pie kissed the girls and made them cry. So it must be one of the Georges. I think it was George the First, yeah.
That's horrible. Oh, okay. That's well, not be doing that at any of my events.
Does it give you ideas, Sarah? Come on, lads, pucker up.
Sit on my lap.
Changing track slightly, I think that making people feel at ease is utterly crucial. And he is a host, but in a different kind of environment. Someone like Graham Norton. an absolute master at making people feel at ease and getting the best out of people.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point of feeling like you're amongst friends, or like you're in a kind of it's a safe space. You know, like I, again, thinking about, like, you know, if I've been to a party, or, you know, if you go to the pub with some people you don't know that well, because, you know, maybe you're joining a friend or whatever. And there are some people who just, I can think of a few people, you're definitely one of them as well, Marcus, who just makes, kind of introduces people to a group, makes them feel like they're part of the proceedings, even if you don't know anybody. Mm. And I think that's a real skill, actually.
Yeah. But that's what I kind of do as my job, really, is actually hosting. So when I say I'm a better guest, well, actually, in the informal, I would argue, but then when it comes to more informal at work, I'd much rather host a conversation or do what I do than be the kind of the pundit or the guest on a radio show or a podcast or something like that. And I think that, you know, there's a, you know, your chat show hosts, you know, like Jimmy Fallon's brilliant at it as well. Mm. Just relaxing people and trying to get the best out of them. And Graham Norton, as I say, I mean, he's so good. Apparently, his thing is that, you know, give him a bit of booze before the show. It always helps, you know, classic tactic. And once he's apparently he gets the conversation going in the green room before they go on.
Yeah.
So you're already kind of, you've been warmed up, essentially. And he says to them when they're kind of relaxed, he says, oh, by the way, because normally when people go on chat shows, they kind of know the questions they're going to be asked, or they're promoting a film and it's all fairly standard. And he usually says if they found a story or there is a story that they know that someone will be happy to say, it's not a stitch up or anything, but it's one of those stories where they might need a little bit of encouraging to say it, but actually when they kind of lose their inhibitions, they realize it's totally fine. And again, it's not a stitch up. It is very much a safe space, and, you know, we're for you, not against you, kind of thing.
Yeah.
We're not going to laugh at you. We're going to enjoy, we're enjoying you and what you're bringing to the table. And he says to them beforehand, oh, by the way, there might be a little story. There might just be like one story that I might mention, you know. And it gives them a little kind sort of warning. But I think by then, they're kind of like, yeah, great, whatever. I trust you. Mm. I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is that kind of trust.
Is it then the art of asking good questions? That's kind of a key thing to being a good, as you said, whether you're hosting a space or you're hosting a show. It's just, I make you feel at ease, but actually it's about asking good questions about you and then allowing people to speak. And,
yeah.
Would you say that's the key?
But I think having no experience of what Graham Norton does, obviously, but I think my sort of guess would be is that he makes them, yeah, it's that safe space, but he makes the show about them. But he also, it's his name on the show, so it's not kind of just looking at them, prodding them with a stick and saying, right, be funny now.
Yeah.
They go on there. He's such an engaging host and so charismatic that they think, oh, it's fine. If I'm not expected to kind of perform here, I'm getting in his slipstream. But at the same time, as Graham Norton himself once said, the great thing about doing a chat show is it's about everything other than yourself. And that comes across. He never gets in the way of them. He will encourage them. And he's basically going, you're great. And here they are. These are the great people. And he then sort of shows them. Of course, a lot of people who are comedians or actors love the limelight. So they don't need the encouragement, if you see what I mean. Or they don't need, I mean, they might be knackered because they've done a million and one of those interviews that week. Whereas if you compare it to one or two other chat show hosts who I won't name, they sort of go, oh, these people are great. Oh, but remember, I'm good as well. I'm funny as well. And that grates.
Because you watch the show, you do watch it for the host, but really, because they've got particular guests on.
Sure.
And when the host dominates the guests, you're like, will you just shut up for a bit? And I kind of want to hear what they've got to say. Like, that's part of the reason I've tuned in.
Yeah. Piers Morgan, are you listening? So I think actually generally when it comes to the kind of the party or the social, I prefer being the guest. But when it comes to broadcasting one, I think I prefer to be the host.
I like attending barbecues. I like hosting in the house, but attending a barbecue feels a bit more pressure because it's live action cooking. Do you know what I mean? It's like you can't take your eye off it, otherwise it's black food.
Men and barbecues, seriously.
That's what I'm saying. I like attending them, but not necessarily hosting it. So usually the typical man thing is, I want to be behind the grill. And I'm like, I don't. That just looks a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Just give me a burger.
I was attending the grill. I was attending the grill at one of your church socials, Chris, if you remember, although I had someone who was a bit more capable with me. But there is a bit of pressure. You're right. You could give everybody food poisoning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, I know I said I like hosting, but I don't like cooking. So
right.
If someone else could do the cooking...
She's a rubbish host.
Or yeah, all round Sarah's for a ready meal.
For some oven pizzas. Oh, yes.
There you're talking.
As soon as this lockdown is lifted, lad, you're coming round and we are having a delivery.
That is, yes. Well, to be honest with you, I could think of worse things. I could think of worse things, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. We're on Twitter and Insta at AQQAPod, of course. And give us a lovely review if you've enjoyed what you've heard. That would be fan-dabby-dozy. So, until next week, say goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Sarah.
Bye.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next week.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.